Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
It's time for the Dr. Tanji Show.
Hey, you're on the air with Dr. Tanji. Talk to me.
As soon as I hear your voice, Dr. Tanji, my day is better.
Hey, Dr. Tanji. I took your advice and made some changes in my life. And you know what? I've been winning ever since. Thank you for your advice.
Now, here's Dr. Tanji.
Hey, thank you for joining us for a show that was created on Kingdom Principles, a show that's designed to get you from where you are to where you want to be, a show that's packed with people who are doing it in the marketplace, who come by and bless us with the knowledge and the skill sets that they have, and hey, point us in the direction that we need to go so that we can get there too. Today's show is being brought to you by Mary Grace Clothing. And I am so proud of that young man who is not only living in his purpose, that he saw enough to say, you know what? I want to support you. So that's what we do here, guys. We support one another in love and in truth. And however we can be a blessing and serve, that is what we do. Now, you remember I said that we were going to deal with the month of November with authority. And today is just part three of the four-part series on authority. And there are just a couple of nuggets of principles that I really want you to be mindful of. And then I'm going to tell you who these two awesome gentlemen here in the studio are. I want you to be mindful that when you are exercising in authority, your right to be, I want you to remember that confidence and humility are two of the factors. Confidence is that feeling of self-assurance. It's from your appreciation of your abilities and qualities. But in confidence, you got to remember that that confidence is from God. Yeah, we get confused sometimes, and oftentimes people will think that being confident is being arrogant. But when you're serving, and you have a right to serve, you have a right to be exactly where you are. And if you're not where you want to be, you got a right to change your mind and get into line, get into purpose. The second thing I want you to remember is humility. Now, I know you've been told that humility means, you know, kind of being lowly at state and you're not saying anything and you're being passive. And no, remember, these are kingdom principles and we serve an awesome king.
That's right.
So that humility that we're talking about is operating in integrity, in strong leadership to govern yourself. But it's to know that I am where I'm supposed to be because of him. Yes, I put in the work. Yes, I did the grind. And I hear my children say, I did the hustle. But it's knowing that should anything happen and I'm removed from this place, that I still have my hope and my trust and my confidence in the one who created me. So humility. When we're serving in humility, yes, you're going to serve others, but you're also serving your gift. Because you know that your gift really does make room, and it brings you before great men and women, if you get upset about that. But hey, I'm just quoting scripture here. That's just what we do. And I have the privilege of being in the presence of two kings, one who hails from Alabama, y'all. Alabama, all the way to Los Angeles, California, that had a dream and began at 17 years old acting. And he's going to tell you about his story and how he got here. He's an inspiration and he motivates. I was motivated just sitting and listening to his story, just a tidbit of it. And then this gentleman walks through the door and none other than some hails. Well, some say that he is compared to, from Shakespeare to Shabazz. And he's 6'3", is what the bio said. And I'm looking and I'm thinking, wow. We have none other than Mr. Nicholas Few and George Preston. Welcome to
the show.
Wow. They're co-hosts today, guys, but they're going to tell their story, and I'm excited about it. Thank you guys so very much for being here. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And it truly is an honor. Thank you. It's an honor to have you here. Now, let's get started.
Yes, good.
Hailing from Alabama.
Yes.
How did you get here?
Well, it started from, high school, the molding and shaping from my mom and my father.
Yeah.
I told them at 17 that, I had a yearning for the arts, and my mom suggested Shakespeare, and I said, okay. And I fell in love with it, and I did plays through high school, did little short films here and there, but ultimately, I wanted to figure out a way to get to Los Angeles in my dream. We prayed a lot. My church helped a lot. A lot of the molding, my youth pastor, Mr. James Riley, taught me a lot, 9 a.m. before, service started, but his talks, helped me figure out who I wanted to be. And ultimately, Pepperdine came through. I had a great audition there. I felt at home, at peace. I fell in love with university and its principles and its morals and the program. And, they ended up giving me a full ride scholarship.
Wow.
And it was a huge blessing. I told my mom and dad, and it was the night of prom when I got the acceptance.
Uh-huh.
It was crazy. And me and my mom just started crying.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. I told my dad, he was just screaming and posting on Facebook and everything. It was crazy. And, it was just, it was something that was bigger than me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was very inspiring to the youth that I was teaching as well through the church. So, I got here, and it's been a blessing so far. And also, I met Nick Few my freshman year. he was a mentor to me when I was kind of lost when I first got here. So, he's been a really big part of my life, too.
That is so wonderful. Yeah. Absolutely. And thank you so very much for remembering the people that helped to shape and mold you and not losing that. That is so, so very important out here, especially.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get back to you with some more deeper thing. You've got a story, and your story is so beautiful, and I'm trying not to cry because I just got new lashes.
They're really nice.
First time. Thank you so much.
I thought the ceiling fan was on. I felt this wind coming in. You were just blinking.
And we're going to segue into this man here.
You
thank
look
you
beautiful.
So very much, good man. Thank you. Thank you, Talenia, for sponsoring this beautiful experience. Now, Mr. Nick Few.
Yes.
Wow. Your credits read like a who's who among the greatest. Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. Othello, yes?
Yes.
And how did you get here, sir?
God blessed me with an impediment that I needed to work on. And aligned my life with people that knew exactly what I needed to get myself to a point where I could communicate effectively. I had probably one of the worst speech impediments that it was awful.
Okay.
I mean, to the point where people would tell me, just write it down.
Wow.
And I had a yearning for the arts, but the road didn't seem available. I remember telling my dad one day, I was like, Daddy, this is how I spoke.
Wow.
I want to act. Jeez. And he looked at me and he said, well, son, you got some work to do.
Yeah.
He said, now I can help you, but this is going to be on you and God. You gotta talk to God about it, and you have to work diligently on it. And everybody, the entire community, pitched in. I had to do synopsis every Sunday. After Sunday school, I had to get up and speak in front of my church.
Oh, I love this.
And it helped me not only learn how to communicate a little bit better, but it helped my confidence. It's amazing that your thing is authority and walking in authority,
yeah.
because that is exactly what God gave me when I was driving up here.
Oh, come on.
And when you said it, I was in awe. I said, oh my, these kind of things happen all the time. That's why I say, when you are walking in your gift and in your life, things happen like that.
They do.
And that's what I teach them in class. Mm-hmm. George's in my class now. Uh-huh. Most of acting is confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God we have a relationship with our Father so that we can do that and not lean solely on ourselves.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Before I walk out on stage, I know every night I get on my knees, but before I hit the stage.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Wow. Every time.
Every time.
And so, it took a village of people challenging me and speech pathologist and just determination.
Absolutely.
And then once I got a hold of it, taking up space, knowing that I belong.
That's wonderful.
That I have birthright.
Yeah.
Because he said I could.
I love that.
Right?
I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. And that can transcend even into the secular world.
Absolutely.
Of course.
You know, because a lot of times people think, and I don't believe in religion anymore. I'm so sorry. I hope I'm not being offensive here. But
I don't believe in it either.
Yeah, religion really.
I don't believe in it either.
Yeah, I was religious. I did everything religiously. I would pray and then just wait. And I would wait. And I didn't know that prayer meant doing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Action.
Absolutely.
You know, a famous playwright, Intozake Shange, just passed, and one of the things I teach in class also is she wrote a play called For Color Girls Who Have Committed Suicide When the Rainbow Isn't Enough. And there's a phrase that she said, I found God in myself and I love her fiercely.
Yeah.
For me, about found God in myself and I love him fiercely. I had to find God for myself, not through what someone else gave me.
Yeah.
Or the Eurocentric idea of what I had to. Because a lot of that is brainwashing and enslavement.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that
Absolutely.
Was a whole process too.
I know. I went through it.
Right.
Yeah. I'll give a soliloquy because I want to get back with you guys, but I have to say this.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a 40-day fast.
Yes.
17 days into the fast, I close my Bible and I tell my husband, I'm done.
Mm.
I quit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's thinking, oh, dear God, my wife has lost her mind. God, maybe she needs to eat. But I said, I don't get it. If we are who he says that we are,
mm-hmm.
why are we not only living beneath, but thinking? We're not that. We're creators.
That's right.
Of course we are.
That is what we do. And when we speak, I honestly believe, because it's written, heaven takes notice.
That's right.
Yeah. It goes back into that principle that says whatever you bind on earth, he doesn't bind it.
Right.
Your words bind it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever you loose, it's loose.
That's right.
So we're so busy binding spirits that we're not binding those things that have stopped us for so long to getting to where we're supposed to be.
That's right.
So I said all that to say, back to you, sir. living from the inside out.
Mm-hmm.
It matters. It matters. I get excited when I see people that are living the life that they're supposed to live, no matter what. Okay, we're all going to have those struggles. We're going to have them. Stacy says to me, honey, the sense of struggle creates the struggle.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay. All right. So I need to stop struggling.
Of course.
And you stop it here.
That's right.
That's exactly what
absolutely.
I had to
absolutely.
Go through. Especially,
So you're excited about the manifestation of your going to Pepperdine.
Of course, yeah.
Now what? You get here.
Okay.
Is it everything you thought it would
be? Okay, so at first, yes, but not for the right reasons. I came in very distracted at the time, very, torn between two worlds, wondering, oh, should I, do this theater thing, or should I want to do film? What do I want to do right now? And I will bring it back to Nick helped me a lot my freshman year. I was in this acting one class, and I would always come every week. We would come in and we would check in on our week, and for a number of weeks it was pretty hard for me. at the time. But on the outside, it looked like, you know, I was having a great time. Mm-hmm. I came in, I was a freshman class president. I was, you know, it seemed like I was doing great. I was doing great, but at the time, I was just so torn. And he worked with me, and also, you know, people back home I checked in with worked with me. My freshman year ended up being great because I ended up knowing at the end of my year, you know, what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. I wanted to work on my craft. I wanted to hone my craft. And sophomore year was really also that was the most challenging year for sure, due to the Woolsey fire, of course, and the school mass shooting, and also just I felt like I was living someone else's, you know, vision for me at the time. And I was so pressured, and I was so, I wasn't loving myself, and I wasn't doing the right things that, you know, were, you know, instilled in me back home and also here in God's purpose for me. And I was letting, you know, mentally, I was letting my mental state, you know, deteriorate right in front of my eyes. Wow. And, actually, this past summer, when I interned in Atlanta at Alliance Theater with the education sector, I figured out how much control I have, and how much, you know, I lost sight of my spiritual side, and I was leaning so much on these worldly things to like figure it out for me, but I forgot, you know, my upbringing and also what brings me peace. And that's Jesus Christ. And me realizing that this summer, you know, put me back into where I was in high school, where I was motivated, inspired, and unapologetic about what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, confident, but, you know, not arrogant, but self-assured. And I'm going to do things that, you know, I want to do at the end of the day. And I'm going to lay out my path because, you know.
Wow.
I love myself at the end of the day. I love myself.
And you know what? When you're entering... at 17, 18 years old, you're finding yourself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is completely natural. This is what you're doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing, figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about Jordan, I love his mother. His mother would come on my Facebook inbox and me, you need to go check on George.
Wow.
I talked to him and he didn't sound right.
Huh.
And our path, and I don't think I've ever told you this, but our paths mirror so closely at times. And because my mother would call my favorite teacher or my teacher that helped me out outside of it and be like, go, would you just go by and check or just text him and make sure he's okay?
Mm.
And it's full circle.
It's full circle.
Yeah. I love it. You are, I want him to do greater things than I see him doing. We're gonna all know who George is.
I love it.
My ministry in this, in teaching too, being a teaching artist, is for young men and young women like him to ask her. And when you see him on stage, he does it with such ease. Isn't that confidence right? And that he's amazing. He's amazing.
He's makes amazing. You blush. Yeah. It's so beautiful to see you give those flowers, as my mom would say, but to do it with such passion. We've lost the humanness in serving. We've lost the servant leadership because that's exactly what you're doing. You're saying, listen, I see it. You matter.
That's right.
Let's pull it out of you so that now you can serve others with your gifts. And that's what you're doing.
And that's what he's going to do.
Wow.
He's already mentoring other students.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. He knows that I know that. He mentors a couple of students. They look up to him on the campus. So we're already passing the baton
to
the next person.
You better believe it.
You know?
That's exactly what we're here for.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we're here for.
Yeah.
How did you go from Othello to, I think I saw Chicago Med?
Yeah, well, Shakespeare, for me, I never believed European writings to be greater than our own, ever. I used it as a tool to help me from my stuttering. So, in this country, we put a lot of emphasis on Shakespeare.
Right.
And Shakespeare became a tool I used to practice speaking. And because it's written on rhythm, mm-hmm. it was easier for me. Because, you know, a lot of stutterers, we can sing fine.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It disappears when you sing. So I would use that rhythm and sing the words. And that was a form of therapy for me. And I said, wait a minute, I'm pretty good at this. Let me see if
exactly.
I can make a living doing this. Right. Exactly. So that segued into me getting to a couple of really big schools. Mm. And one school in particular, there was a voice teacher, Tom Jones, and looked at me and he said, now, I know you got into this. I know you got into these great schools. Mm-hmm. We're a good school too, but mm-hmm. I can tell there's something going on with your speech. You hide it very well, mm-hmm. but I can help you get to the next level if you come
on.
Here.
Oh, come
That's
on.
That's easy. I'm coming there.
And it was free too. So,
wow.
Yeah. You know, and like I was telling George when he was thinking, when he's thinking about doing television and stuff, theater for the art, for the mm. artist, that's your base anyway. Absolutely. You learn how to do this well, mm. it's easier to transition from theater to film.
For sure.
Exactly.
For sure.
And so that's how I transitioned. I worked really hard on yeah. my foundation, and my, as I call it in class, my toolbox. Mm. And then for film, I just have to simplify it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Imagining that camera is a big eye and a big ear that catches everything. So my small gestures
yeah.
look really large on camera. So right. just paring that down just a little bit.
I love that.
Both arts, both forms of the arts, you work from an authentic place. Okay. But theater is just maybe 10 to 15% bigger mm-hmm. so that you can hit the back of the house.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Wow.
So that's how I started. I transitioned from, and it took me a while because I remember my first time on set. Mm-hmm. I was talking very loud.
Like, projected. Yeah. Right, the mic man's like, right, what? Right. Can you stop?
And the yeah. other actors were, we're talking like this. Yeah. I can't hear this.
Yeah. You're late.
So I learned in practicum, I have to really tone it down.
Absolutely.
So.
Oh my gosh, and here we are. You get to see the future leaders.
Yeah.
You get to pour into them.
Absolutely.
Wow. So.
And they get to come and they get to watch me. It's mm-hmm. important for them to watch me on TV. It's important for them to watch me play live too. Okay. I'm still doing theater. I'm still doing television myself. Really? I think it's. I think it's important for. If I want them to trust, you know, what I'm telling them in the classroom, mm-hmm. they should be able to look at my work and say, oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Or, oh, he's not doing what he said he was
right there. Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Nick, you said something about having what you thought was going to be, and I'm just kind of surmising here, mm-hmm. the speech impediment.
Yes.
Did you ever think that this is going to hold me back?
When I saw how people responded to when I tried to communicate, I thought to myself, oof. Ah. So when I was younger, I saw people react to me attempting to communicate effectively, and it hurt. It hurt that people that didn't look like us assumed I had a mental illness because I didn't communicate effectively, okay. not knowing that, you know, I was always very sharp. It was right. just the connection between my brain
sure.
and my mouth
that
just didn't
That's it.
Connect.
Absolutely.
And so it took my parents being very diligent and saying, no, you're not going to subscribe any medicine. You're not going to subscribe any lower level classes.
Absolutely.
I know my son. He's this is just a thing. And we can overcome this.
Wow.
So when I go back home, people are like, who are you? It's true. I'm like, what?
Wow, so that sense of pride.
And look at how the universe works out. Who's one of the most famous voices in the world right now? Star Wars.
James Earl Jones.
Yep.
Has a horrible speech impediment. Had one.
What?
Same thing.
I never knew
Stutter.
It.
Still has a voiced person. But he spent so many hours working on getting that thing. Because you never really... it's always there. Mm. You just learn to work around it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And when you put the hours in, yeah. and again, when you're in that alignment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Let's get back to spirituality.
Yes.
Here you are. I'm assuming you grew up in the church.
Oh, so yes.
You mimed.
Oh, yeah.
I did
mime in the church. That's where I started.
And you're connected. You've mm-hmm. got the people around you that just, again, pouring into you and what have you.
Of course.
And you get here. I call it the land of opportunity, uh-huh. L.A., you know?
Yes.
You get here and for a moment, mm-hmm. you're allowed to see what this really is about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I got to get back to what is.
Yes.
How did you rediscover that, one, you were even out of alignment, as our friend says here, and your need to get back?
Okay. Well, it was to the point where I would wake up on Sunday and not even realize it was Sunday.
Okay.
Okay. Also, the way my base was being compromised. What I've learned was being compromised. Everything was just shifting to, oh, well, actually, I think this isn't too bad. Oh. And also the way the people I looked up to mm-hmm. could see through me at the time. Huh. And even if I was just like, oh, I'm great, I'm doing this. They're like, really?
Right.
The people, you know, that really know you, mm-hmm. you know? That's and right. also when I could see myself in the mirror and not really like what was going on in my life.
Okay.
And then I wanted to, at the time I wanted to run back home, talked to my youth pastor mm-hmm. during Thanksgiving break. And he was always just so out there, just so real with me.
Yeah,
sometimes
yeah.
nobody would come with just me and him talk for 9 a.m. to start a service.
I love it.
And sometimes even after, just he never came prepared with anything. It was just off of.
Yeah.
And those are the conversations I missed. And I had to find something for myself what worked here. I couldn't lean on so many people. I had to find it for myself.
Absolutely.
And realizing that, like, oh, I'm a man, and at the end of the day, I got to decide what I believe in mm-hmm. and my standards and what holds and what doesn't hold.
Right.
And realizing what I'm going to allow in my life and what I'm going to take out of my life.
Mm.
So at the end of the day, it was a growing up thing, too.
Absolutely.
Because I can't just run back to Alabama when I feel lost.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's just not realistic.
Uh-huh.
So I had to figure out a way to fill myself up. So there we go.
Figure out a way to fill myself up. I mean, that in and of itself is a principle. You do know that, right?
Yes.
Because there is a place that's reserved for him.
Yes.
And it's just reserved for him.
Yes.
And no amount of alcohol or
yeah.
anything, success,
mm-hmm.
can fill that void.
Of course.
That's right. Yeah, that's his.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you so very much for being so honest and open and sincere. Because I know that there is someone who's listening, someone who's watching and saying, but he looked like he got it all together. You know, what is he saying? It's something how people can look at us and not see us.
Of course.
You know, we are spirit, not a spirit, but we are spirit.
Yes.
And we have a soul.
That's right.
Yes.
Our mind, our will, and emotions. And we're encased in a body. That's the only way we can survive down here and carry out the assignment.
That's right.
So thank you so very much for getting back in tune with our Creator. And that matters. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
We reserve Sundays for our worship.
Of course.
But we've learned that worship is every day, 24/7.
Yeah, exactly.
You better believe it. You wake
up.
And it's okay to say, you know what? Today is, I'm a little off.
That's right.
When someone says, well, how you doing? And, you know, I'm I'm guilty. I'll say, all is well. Because I'm looking at the end.
Nice.
And then I'm going to work my way back. Does that make any sense? I am a firm believer that when you speak it, I don't speak name it and claim it. I did that back in the early 2000s. Does not work. Nope. You got to put in the work.
Name it, claim it, put in the work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And with you saying, I got to do this. Oftentimes we miss that component
right.
of work.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's not hard work, because work is who you were meant to be.
Mm-hmm. And when you're feeling off, you have the control and the power to turn that thing around.
Uh-huh.
Realizing that I have when my day is going really bad sometimes, I realize, I say, okay, this is temporary, and right now I'm turning it around.
I love it.
Exactly.
I love it. Absolutely.
That's a really good thing I got this summer.
Right.
When I was like, wow, I can actually. And I forgot about it. You know, exactly what you said.
Isn't that power? Beautifully said. Yeah. Isn't that power?
Yeah. That's that authority we walk
yes.
in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you know that you have a right to be here.
That's right.
And you have a right to be complete.
That's right.
Exactly.
Because we really are complete.
Right.
He would never allow us to start a journey without giving us all the necessary things that we need.
Yes.
Yeah. So maturity plays a part.
Yes.
Yeah, that perfection, you know, when we mm-hmm. say, you know, be perfect, that is be mature.
Yes.
And everything you say and everything you do.
That's right.
Yeah, your yes is yes.
Mm-hmm.
And your no is no, and it's okay.
And that's efficient, right?
Yes.
Right. So how do you get that across to the young people that come and they're looking at you and they're saying, man, this man has it all together, man.
How'd you get
Dang,
here?
Man. He every time I see him, he's smiling.
Yeah. How did you get here?
I walk it. I believe it. I don't just teach it. Hmm. I walk it. That's why I want them to see me perform. That's why I want them to test me. That's why I want them to test themselves.
Hmm.
You know, what was your question again?
How do you get the young people to believe, to see this? Mm-hmm. They see you and they see all of this. This realness,
mm-hmm.
this man who really is living, and they're thinking, man, he's got it all together.
I think just living authentically. Is so powerful mm-hmm. to people. People are and when I found my most authentic, I don't even know if I'm at the. I know I feel like I'm in great alignment, but
mm-hmm.
I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to minimize where God's going to put. I may have some more growing. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Exactly.
I feel, you know, but living an authentic, being an authentic person, I don't have to do as much. All I have to do is be.
Yep.
Thank you.
All I have to do is.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to tell you something. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know I was going to teach this year.
Mm-hmm.
That job opened up. I was only teaching master classes at their school.
Okay.
And a teacher just happened to leave.
Hmm.
And I had spoken the year before. I told the head of the department, I said, hey, there's a lacking of diversity in your faculty.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And while I enjoy being here,
right.
I'm doing a lot of extra mm-hmm. and I'm going to need to be compensated for that.
Huh. I love it.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
They need me, and I need them.
Yeah.
But you're going to pay me for it,
oh.
and I know you'll figure that out. And the next year came, the job opened
up. Here
we
go.
Two weeks before school started, I hadn't written a syllabus or anything.
Yeah. And it was meant to be.
And it just happened.
That's how.
So
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
I work on. Be my most righteous self every day and my most clear self and mm-hmm. my most honest self
right.
every day.
Right.
And
yeah.
that's my practice. It is a practice.
Oh, for sure.
I have to catch myself sometimes.
Absolutely.
Because I have hiccups.
Mm-hmm. We all do.
But my consciousness catches it and goes, mm-mm. Go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I recalibrate and then I'm okay.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Thank you for
That's
that.
That's it. Of course.
I know. Wow. Isn't this wonderful?
It's awesome.
Man.
Yeah.
And I get to do this, guys.
That's beautiful. That's
dream.
You know, I am so grateful. I am so grateful because I live it too.
Mm-hmm.
And
you sure do.
People don't understand. Sometimes when I'm praying for the would-be listeners. I'm praying for the ones that are listening. I'm mm-hmm. praying for the ones that will say, oh, man, she ain't talking about nothing. I'm like, but you have no idea how much I want you to live.
Yes.
I don't want you to just survive. I've been there.
That's right.
I was a mom, a teenage mom, you know?
Yeah.
And everyone kept telling me, oh, that's it. You're pretty much going to be a teacher in Mississippi. But I remember at 10 years old asking my mom, do you think I could be a doctor? And my mom saying to me, she calls me Pootie. She says, Pootie, do you believe in God? I'm like, yes, ma'am, you know. Yeah. What angst, how dare you? And she says, well, you can do anything you put your mind to.
That's right.
So I may have strayed, but I remembered what my mama said.
That's right.
Yeah, I was, you know, she was a single mom, and I'm looking at this woman at 15, she had me, you know, and she gave up education so that she could have me. And I'm thinking, man, the debt of gratitude, I could never repay you. So I just got to live the life.
That's right.
And that's what I try to do every day.
That's right.
Because this show really does matter. You know, you said something about not putting God in a box or putting limits. You're absolutely right. My dedication was, Daddy, I want everyone that you allow to come here to be empowered.
That's right.
To do more than they did before they walked through the door. Yes. I don't need them to say, oh, man, I was at the Dr. Tanji show, but that's irrelevant.
Right.
If I'm the conduit, then, hey, I'll serve as a conduit.
Right.
But it matters that you live, because I do not want you at the end of your life to get there and everything that you were supposed to do is around your bed. I heard Dr. Miles Monroe say this, and every book that you were supposed to have written, every play that you were supposed to have, every score, every movie that you were supposed to have scored, you didn't do it. Mm. And they're standing there and they're saying, but how dare you? Mm-hmm. What gives you the right to take me to the grave with you?
That's right. Mm.
How dare you?
That's right.
So I live my life like today might be my last day.
Yeah.
So I'll start on 4 books at a time. Mm-hmm. Writing. I've got 15 that I've got to write, and I've got 30 that I've got to put in a vault for my grandchildren. Mm. So every year they can publish a book. Wow. How about that, right?
That's powerful.
I
beautiful.
Just believe that. I honestly do. I believe that we are here on an assignment.
Yes.
And we don't know how long we have. So every smile really does matter. And every, hey, how you doing? It really does matter. Mm-hmm. Because I was at a place in my life where I'm thinking, Daddy, I know you love me, but man, you love me so much.
That's right.
What? I got to go through this. Yeah. Oh, man, that gummit. And I kept thinking, well, maybe it was something that I did. And then he reassures me, I allow everything. Mm-hmm. You know, the enemy can only go so far, and there's a line of demarcation, and he can't cross it.
Right.
And that's my reassurance that, and it came to pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass. So I am grateful.
I have a question for you.
Sure, sir.
On your path, did you find, are you finding things don't appeal to you?
Oh.
Like the things that appeal to the masses?
Yeah.
Sometimes I just feel like some things that just, I have no desire
None whatsoever. I thought it was in the car, okay? Mm-hmm. So I went out and got fancy cars.
Mm-hmm.
And then I discovered it's not in the car. It's not in the house. It's not in the title. Someone says, oh, but you're a doctor. Ah, it just means I'm a servant. Just a bigger servant. It allows this pretty brown skin to walk through doors that ordinarily I couldn't walk through. Being Tanji. Yeah.
That's right.
But no, what matters, honestly, is, Daddy, am I pleasing?
Yeah.
Did I please you today?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't handle that right. I didn't handle my husband right. Or, man, I said some things that I shouldn't have said, Dad, and I'm so sorry. That's what matters now.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's that living from the inside out. So, again, when I have kings to come to the studio and they bless the people and they encourage the people, because there's someone who says, man, I want to go to Pepperdine, but, man, I can't afford it. And, you know, I'm looking at where I am, or I'm looking at where my parents are, and they're, man, but how do I get there?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, hone in on your talent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Get that skill set and work it. And he will bring you before. He will. Mm-hmm. There'll be a situation where you can walk into an office and tell a man or a head, hey, they need me. But more importantly, I need them.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell folk. I need you. I need you to believe. You don't believe me. Believe the God in me,
that's
man.
Right.
And
yeah,
just
yeah.
get up and get busy.
That's right.
Let's do this thing together. Let's mm-hmm. get there. It's not a race.
That's right.
It's the endurance that gets us across the line.
Exactly.
And that endurance is our faith.
I was telling one of my there was a prospect student that was that wants to go to the school I went to, the graduate school I went to, which is Brown. It's an Ivy League university.
I know.
and she was saying, was it tough? I said, was it tough your first, you know, first couple of years? I said, absolutely. It was really tough because a lot of the people in the higher ups didn't believe I belonged there, which in turn tricked me into believing I didn't belong there. But when I researched who built that school, whose blood was in that wall, I said, wait a minute.
This is my school. Not your school. Uh-huh. Yeah.
If I listen close enough, I can hear my ancestors up in here. This is the second slave state in the U.S. My ancestors built this school. How dare I not take authority over my belonging to this place?
Mm-hmm.
What they've built, what they've created, their dream. Yeah. I am their dream.
That's it.
You're living in it.
And once I realized that, I was able to go in that office and say, again.
I love that.
Of course I belong here.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you happy? No, not at the current state,
yeah.
But I will be.
Absolutely.
Because now I realize my place and I have right to be here.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. That they didn't even know.
That's it.
Right?
You have an authority.
You have an authority.
You're walking that.
I cannot believe that was yours. I'm still in awe of that. I'm still in awe of that. Seriously.
Wow, what a wonderful daddy, right?
Right.
So what is next for these geniuses? What's next now? I mean, you're out here and you're back in alignment and
yes.
you're
yes.
living life the way it should be lived, not in your truth.
Yes.
But the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
So now I'm finishing up Ragtime Musical. We have three shows left, Thursday through Saturday. I'm at Pepperdine University Smothers Theater. I'm going to finish up that. I'm going to finish up my classes for the semester, catching up on that. But we have also, we've been working, me, KJ Powell, and Nick have been working on the August Wilson Showcase that we're doing in February, you know, celebrate the 15th year of August Wilson's death. And we're going to be putting up vignettes of his work of the Pittsburgh Cycle in the Black History Month, and we're partnering with the Black Student Association. It's going to be a huge thing.
It's going to be huge.
It's the most. We have the most African American theater students in the history of the theater program this year.
Oh,
so it was imperative that we did it this year.
Absolutely.
For sure. And Nick Pugh, everything just worked out because Nick Pugh became a full-time faculty member this year. So, I mean, it was a God thing, you know?
Absolutely.
And I was like, we got to do this. We got to do this. So we've been working hard on that. After that, I'm going to probably do some writing, try to get back out there in the city, do some short films, maybe put my name around the city, but also, you know, still holding my craft at the end of the day, and just taking care of myself.
Taking care of yourself.
Taking care of myself.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an exciting year, though.
Yeah.
I'm really excited.
I'm excited for you.
I'm really excited for you.
How can people that are listening to the show stay in touch and stay kind of connected with you to see exactly what goes on behind the scenes?
Amazing. Well, my Instagram.
There you go.
My Instagram is the @ George Preston IV.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook is George Edward Preston IV IV. I post on there a lot. I will post probably a lot about like the theater shows I'm doing or behind the scenes of August Wilson. You can just DM me there if you have a question or you want to hit me up or you want to, I don't know, sign me to something. I don't know.
Speaking,
if you want to sign me or if you want to sign me or anything like that, I can send you some film. I can send you a demo reel. But Yeah, I act, sing, and dance. So
that's right.
It's a plug.
All right. I am so, so proud of you.
Yeah, that's me.
Absolutely.
you got to see this man perform.
Oh, I am. I'm going to. Yeah, I'm coming, man.
When you coming?
Oh. No, but I got to get some tickets. I got to get some tickets because
we
this
got
is.
You.
Yeah. Thank you. This is so exciting.
We got
this
you.
This is so exciting, Mr. Nick.
Mm-hmm.
You're living your best life, and you're not done yet.
No.
What's next?
In the nearest future, I'm going to come to see George on stage on Thursday and awesome. the rest of my beautiful students. I have a bunch of students in this play. I'm really proud of them. I go back to my play this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay.
I'm at another show. And you can do the same thing. You can follow me at NICFEW. That's it. Six letters.
Yeah.
At Nick Few. NICFEW.
Mm-hmm.
And I post about everything on there.
Wow.
I show you what I'm doing.
All right, guys. We're gonna wrap it up, but I want to ask just a couple of questions here. You've got someone listening. They're from small town USA.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, man, I want to do what this man is doing. What do you say to that young man or that young woman that'll go back? If they're not listening now, they'll go back tonight and kind of check out the show. What do you say to that person that says, how?
Well, I would say that personally that there will be a lot of people that will, you know, shut down your dream of wanting, you know, this big town dream and this big town thing. Because, I mean, personally, I told people I wanted to act and what I wanted to do for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
They would say, oh, well, you're not going to make any money. Or, oh, like, you probably won't get in, whatever, whatever. So at the end of the day, you have to stay true to yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to you have to think the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And also you have to separate yourself and take yourself out of the toxic situations if that comes up. But if it doesn't, at the end of the day, hold true to your foundation and always just reach out to someone that will support you. There will always be one. They can be someone. And if there is no one, then God will help you out. But ultimately, yeah, just stay true to your dream. There was a reason it was put inside you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. And Mr. Nick, what do you say to that person that says, yeah, bro, I hear what you're saying, but I got these bills and this is due and that is due. And man, but I don't feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be.
If I were talking to someone, well, basically my younger self, because that was my thing. I was like, ooh, especially after finishing school, I was like, oh God, I got all these bills. What am I gonna do? You know, I had a acting coach when I was in Atlanta, Carol Mitchell Leon. I speak your name. I remember you. She died, but she lives on in me. And she told me one time, sometimes you have to take a leap and build your wings.
Wow.
Take the leap.
Take the leap.
You will find a way.
Hmm.
If it's yours, your talent will make room for you. I feel like a lot of my initial issue was I believed the hype that the media has force-fed America, starting with slavery. Because I'll be honest with you.
Yes.
My whole thing with organized religion, not God, but organized religion, is that I can't abhor slavery and the terrorism that caused, and then ignore the tool that was used to keep us enslaved. I have to put that into I have to take into consideration, which is why it was important for me to find God for myself.
Yeah.
Mm. And then once I got a glimpse of it through the hard work that he gave me to overcome this impediment, I said, "Oh, okay. If you can do that, then there's no telling what."
Right.
So I'm gonna really believe it. I'm gonna take the leap. I'm gonna leave my daddy's house, my mom and dad's house. I'm just gonna do it, and everything worked out. It was not easy. No. But those trials became such a rich toolbox for me. I had something to, because if you don't know pain, if you don't know trials, you don't know joy.
Yeah.
You don't really know what, you don't know what, you really don't know what peace is if you've never been through it, right?
Right.
So all of that stuff I took as a gift. And I'm going through it now, but boy, once I tell about it.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So, you know, I will encourage people, take that leap. It's okay to struggle. It's okay.
Yeah.
But also don't live in that.
That's true.
Struggle is not my you know, I don't want to be a starving artist. I'm not going to be a starving artist. You know, I've gone through that stage.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Wow.
And that's not what my father said was for mine. So that's not, you know what I mean?
I love it. Wow, that is our show. And I just wish I could stay longer, but I have learned so much from both of you. Thank you so very much for sharing your story. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for standing, man, when your knees were shaking and you wanted to quit. Thank you for every tear you cried and cried some more and cried some more. Yeah. But thank you for believing that I got him, he's got me, and I'm going to take that leap.
That's right.
And then I'll grow some wings.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys, that's the show. Thank you for joining us. Please remember that I love you, love you, love you from the depths of my heart, and I cannot do this without you. Join me on Facebook Live Mondays, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, where we talk to Tanji. And then on Wednesdays at 2 p.m., where we bring people into the fold that will inspire and motivate and cause us to dream again. Thank you. I love you, and I'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Dr. Tunji Show with Dr. Tunji Scott, only on LA Talk Radio.